I take my text this morning from today's introit. The sorrows of death surrounded me, the sorrows of hell encompassed me, and in my affliction I called upon the Lord, and he heard my voice from his holy temple. I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my firmament, my refuge, and my deliverer. The sorrows of death surrounded me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. We just arrived last Sunday at the Garden of Gethsemane, the confiteor in our systematic study of the Mass. But we suspend this sequence now, the study of Christ's life and the Mass, to consider the greatest characteristic of our divine Savior, neither his words nor his deeds, but his death. Everyone else was born into the world to live. Our Lord came into it to die. Christmas, it is true, is not yet concluded, but that little baby whose birthday we're still celebrating came for one purpose. Lent looms, and already on this first preparation Sunday, the sorrows of death surround us. But if death was the supreme moment for which our Savior lived, it was the one thing he wished to have remembered. He did not ask that men should write his words into a scripture. He did ask that we should remember his death. But memories fade and fail. Your recollection may not be mine. So he himself instituted the precise way his death would be recalled. The first Mass we call the Last Supper. Taking bread into his holy hands, he said, "This is my body, which shall be delivered for you." And then over the chalice of wine, "This is my blood of the New Testament, which shall be shed for many unto the remission of sins." Thus, by separating the body and the blood, our Lord symbolized and anticipated his death, which would occur the next afternoon at 3 o'clock. And this morning, here at approximately 10:10 in Westchester, Ohio, the same death is made present and presented by the hands of an angel in the sight of the Father's divine majesty. "This do for a commemoration of me," he commanded at the end of the first Mass. Holy Thursday, Good Friday, the 28th of January, 2018. One death, that death for which he was born. Its sorrows surrounded him like the thieves on either side of the cross as his lifeblood drained away for the redemption of the world. The church, the true church, the Catholic Church, not only preserves the word he spoke and the wonders he wrought. The wonders he wrought we preserve with faith firm and unflinching. It also takes him seriously when he pled, "Remember me," when he said, "This do in commemoration of me." This is the sacrifice of the Mass, whereby the sorrows of his death, the sublimity of his sacrifice, surround us too. Hence, Mass is, for us, the crowning act of Christian worship, thus the altar we studied in Advent, the place of sacrifice. Not the choir, we have a good choir, but not the choir, nor the organ, we have a great organist, but it's not the organ, and it's certainly not a table or a chair, as in the new way. The altar is the center of worship, for there is carried out, offered up, represented the memorial of his passion. Its value does not depend upon him who offers it, nor on the one who hears it. It depends on him who is the one high priest, Jesus Christ, our Lord. With him we are united. United, we're lost as the drops of water in the wine, so that the Heavenly Father sees not so much us, but us as lost in his Son, his beloved Son. The Mass is the greatest event in the history of mankind, the one holy act which keeps the wrath of God from a sinful world. For it holds the cross between heaven and earth. No wonder a priest remarked at the changes which slipped the cross from its socket, that the earth tilted in its axis that day, a catastrophe which plunged us into the cold and darkness of year-round spiritual winter. The sorrows of death now surround us. Only we get used to it. This outer space to which we have been exiled. But Calvary belongs to all places and all times. Its surrounding sorrows were not that of Jew or of Greek or of Roman, any more than they were of yesterday. The Declaration of Independence, the Civil War, these things are done. They are in the past. We study them today. But that is all. The sacrifice of the cross is still happening. He hangs on that wood beneath its trilingual sign to stop the careless passerby, to draw the thoughtless closer, to arouse the worldly from their torpor. The one inescapable fact of history, of today, which we cannot resist. As long as there is sin in the world, the crucifixion is a reality. The poet says, "I saw the Son of Man go by, crowned with a crown of thorns. Was it not finished, Lord?" said I, "and all the anguish borne?" He turned to me his awful eyes. "Has thy faith gone to loss? See, every soul is Calvary, and every sin a cross. Padre Pio said he wore the crown of thorns for 50 years every day at his Mass. Without it, the immolation would not be complete. The thorns around the whole of his head and his heart were never taken away. They were the wound that hurt him most. Padre Pio was at Calvary at all of those masses on the cross. But we too, we were there at Calvary. He saw us, Jesus did, that afternoon through blood-drenched eyes. We were all there. There is no escaping the cross, not even by denying it, as do the Jew and the Muslim, the Mormon and the modernist, the materialist and the atheist. Not even by selling Christ, as Judas did and traitors do. Not even by crucifying him anew, as do we all by our sins. The cross stands while the world turns, said the monks of old. And the sorrows of that death surround us, whether it is to reach close to it, to embrace it, to salvation, or to flee from it right into damnation. But how often do we see it? And how could we ever see it once? Calvary, if not renewed, reenacted, represented in the Mass. Calvary is one with the Mass, and the Mass is one with Calvary. For in both, there is the same priest and the same victim, our Lord Jesus Christ. Lent draws near. Let us prepare ourselves. Soon will come its sorrows of death to self, self-denial, and little sacrifices, which alone lead to joys. Soon it will be Holy Week. How quickly time passes. And Good Friday, and Christ's death. And soon it will be our own. Let the sorrows of death surround you. At Christmas, remember, we peered behind the altar to see the high priest, Jesus Christ, preparing himself in the sacristy of Mary's spotless womb, her immaculate heart, clothed with our humanity for the altar of the cross. He had already assumed the white robe of innocence. Herod dismissed it as the robe of a fool. The ropes in the cinctures of dependence, of obedience. The maniple of our suffering, and the stole of his priesthood. The chasuble of the cross on his back, the crown of thorns on his brow is his Beretta. Calvary is his cathedral, its rock, the altar. The acolytes were angels who extinguished the candles at noon, for the sanctuary grew dark. John and Mary were living side altars. The host is his body, the wine his blood. He is upright as a priest and prostrate as victim. His Mass, our Mass this Lent, is about to begin. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.